Oh, the Greeks don't say he is risen. And the Greeks don't say that either. The Greeks say, is that close enough, Melina? Christos Anesti. Now say it with a Greek accent. Christos Anesti. Tell us, Melina. Christos Anesti. See, she said it right. And then you say in response, Alethos Anesti. Right? Alethos Anesti. Truly, he is risen. All right, now that you've learned Greek, say that to the person next to you. Christos Anesti. And then you respond, Alethos Anesti. Now see, you've learned another language. You didn't know you would come and learn another language today. Christos Anesti. It just has a ring to it, doesn't it? It's amazing. I think we should do that, don't you? From now, for the next 40 days, up to Ascension Day, we should, each of us, make the commitment, I will say at least once a day, Christos Anesti, or I will say, he is risen, and someone else responds, he is risen. Isn't that what we should be reminded of? After all, if you assess and you think, I'm sure you've already thought through this because you are a highly intelligent congregation. What's the most important day of the year, especially for a follower of Jesus? What's the most important day, the most significant day? Don't say Monday. Today, well, yes, we live it for God. Here is the gift of a day. But in the whole scheme of things, what is the significant day?
Aujourd'hui.
Yes, we say Friday. It was a good Friday. He carried our sins. But unless he rose from the dead, it was not totally completed. Total victory over sin and death. You're taking me away from now what I want to say. That's okay. Huge. Just like Paul said, if Christ isn't risen, everything's in vain. We're believing it for nothing. We might as well believe nothing. It's hinging on that. We celebrate that. I still say it because it's traditional, you know, Happy Easter, but you think of it, there's no biblical connection there, grounding there, especially for me as a follower of Jesus. More and more, I just want to say, happy or blessed Resurrection Day. It's the day. Quite a bit of celebration on a day like today. But shouldn't every day be Resurrection Day? Celebrating with all our hearts what has made all the difference in the world. Just amazing. When you think, we dare not forget this day. We rehearse this in our hearts, and we think, we celebrate this day because we celebrate an empty tomb. We celebrate the empty tomb because we celebrate the one who emptied the tomb, left it. There's no comparison in history of anything like this, and there never will be. A tomb that's empty because Jesus took the sin of the whole world on himself. Who's included in the sin of the whole world? Come on, raise your hands. Some of you don't think that you're included in that. Please come, we'll have a talk afterwards. And we'll help each other. The sin of the whole world he took on himself. So the penalty for sin, death, was paid. He paid it with his life, the only life that could do it. That one perfect life. Once for all. Now we have forgiveness. Justice is satisfied. The debt is paid. Think of that. We have forgiveness. open access to a personal relationship with God Himself. We can choose to let Him give us new life. We now can choose to no longer live for ourselves, but follow Him. We can actually be members of His royal family. Any of you realize your royalty? Abba, your father. I hope you can all say Abba's my father. He's the king. The tomb is empty because Jesus conquered sin and death in one decisive blow. Thank you, brother. You can say it again. I was going to say, can I get a hallelujah? He's been reading my notes. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to say that with all of us here together this morning, we want to say hallelujah and learn it even more, to catch this even more, to understand this even more in our hearts, down into the deepest part of our hearts. What you truly did for us, how you gained total victory for us over sin, over death, for us. Thank you so much for that. Help us in the days ahead to understand that even more. Help it to sink into the soil of our hearts and lives, that there will be new fruit that will grow, new fruit that will come for your glory. Even right now, we ask you, speak to our hearts what each of us needs to hear now, today, so we can live lives even more fully committed to you, because you're the only one worth living for. Thank you for your presence with us, and I hope everyone can say for your presence in us today. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Karl Marx, how's that for a switch? Karl Marx lay on his deathbed in March of 1883. His housekeeper came to record his last words so that all of history would have his wisdom. And all he could do was shout out in anger, "Go away, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough." His last words that we know. I know someone who was no fool. I hope you can say the same. His last words were powerful and very significant. And they explain the empty tomb and more. Look at just one of his last statements with me this morning. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross, moments away from death, at least moments away from surrendering his life to transition from this meager life to real life. A jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant. Study the significance of the hyssop plant sometime. It'll blow your mind. Lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he'd received the drink, Jesus said, say it with me, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At the age of 33, most people are saying, "It is beginning. I have all of life ahead of me, all kinds of opportunity. I'm excited. It's all beginning." At the age of 33, Jesus was saying, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished," referring to his mission, his calling. It wasn't a cry of defeat. It was a shout of victory. In the Greek language in which John wrote, this statement was one word, 10 letters. Tetelestai. Say it with me. Tetelestai. You can read it. It's close enough to French or English, the letters close. Tetelestai. Now you know. Tetelestai. John's words. The meaning, it has been completed. And the tense of that is stating there is a work, there is an action that's been completed, but there are continuing effects. That's what this special form of the word would mean. It wasn't just something that happened, probably gone and forgotten. It's something that happened and has continuing effects. Jesus probably said this in Aramaic, but John expressed it in Greek. And there's the equivalent, tetelestai. I'm glad we have this recorded in Scripture because it points out something very clearly to us. Jesus fully completed his mission. No question, no doubt, and it lingers on and on and on and on for all of eternity. That one word says that clearly enough to us. That's why we have an empty tomb. So what specifically do we see in this one word, this one expression? We see first, it's not a familiar word to us today, except for Mania, or something similar, but very familiar in Jesus' day, a part of everyday language of the everyday average person. How do we know that? Servants would use it. Imagine this. Master Lay says to her servant, Aaron, isn't that correct? The right? Oh, no, Aaron, the other way. And says, "I have a job for you to do. I want you to do this and this and this and this." Aaron then says, "Oui, bien sûr. Tout suite." And off he goes, right? And he comes back, and when he has completed his mission, he says to his master, Aaron says to Lay, "Tetelestai. I finished what you gave me to do." Did I get that right? If not, we can talk afterwards about that. You get the picture? I finished what you gave me to do. It reminds you of our Lord Jesus, suffering servant, obeying the will of his master, Father. I finished the work, Father, you gave me to do. Priests use this word also. The people brought in their sacrifices to be examined, since you could only have a perfect sacrifice to offer at the altar. And if it was acceptable, the priest would say, "It's perfect. It's complete." Now, the priest would say it in either Hebrew or Aramaic, likely, but the exact equivalent is tetelestai, what John wrote. This reminds us, here is our Lord Jesus again, dying on the cross, God's perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Perfect. Artists used it. When a painter would finish his work, he would step back and say, I think Agnes could tell us this too, and Natalie, where are you? Ah, voilà. Do you say just then, fini? Or you say, voilà. Parfait. You say, tetelestai. It's done. It's perfect. Just what I wanted. It makes us think of the Old Testament as God's picture for us. But the picture was in the shadows, not totally clear, a little dark, a little lighter, but not fully clear to us. But then Jesus came, and he completed the picture. And he turned on the light. Totally clear, no more shadows. Totally full, fulfilled, done, perfect. God's wonderful completion of Old Testament revelation. Jesus, what he did. Merchants used it. If you purchased something, the merchant would take your money, then give you a receipt, and often writing on it, tetelestai, paid in full. Tetelestai. Just in case we've forgotten, friends, you and I were once in a great debt to God. We owed him deeply, and we could not pay. Not anywhere near. We had broken God's law. We were bankrupt. But Jesus came, paid the debt for us. Tetelestai. So you see, friends, do you see it? The servant has finished his task. The perfect sacrifice has been offered. The picture has been completed, and the debt has been paid. All of it. Just from that, all in that one statement, one word, we see something else with that. We see a committed Savior. Jesus was faithful in doing that work his Father gave him to do, and it's all sprinkled through the New Testament. Even when Jesus was 12 years old, at 12, he was realizing his calling and the work he was called to do. And he said, I must be about my Father's business. He later said, my meat, what fulfills me, what feeds me, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Concerned with this, fulfilling, completing. Shortly after that, he said to his disciples, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. Totally impassioned about it, consumed by it. It had to be done. And in his great high priestly prayer, which we heard briefly earlier, he said, I've finished the work, Father, you gave me to do. I hope we can all say that with confidence as we approach our last breath. And we can say, Father, I believe I finished the work you gave me. Hmm? tetelestai, common word, spoken by our faithful Savior on the cross, completed mission. That's why the tomb is empty. We see a fully completed work. There's three powerful things that happened when Jesus did his work on the cross. First, all the prophecies that referred to him and his work on the cross. Think of this. All the many prophecies about him when he was done and he said, "It is finished." Done. Fulfilled. Written off. Completed. Think about it. Second, all the pictures in the tabernacle and the temple after that, you remember what the priesthood represented, what the sacrifices represented, pointing to Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice for us. What the actual furniture in the tabernacle and in the temple represented, all of those things, all those functions, completely fulfilled by Jesus. When he said, "Tetelestai." Third thing, you remember a couple weeks ago, we mentioned it briefly, the veil in the temple, what happened? Torn in two. Now, can God get any more dramatic? Saying, "It's open, come in, you have access to me now, my son did his work, come." All of those things. I find it so interesting. Did you know in the Old Testament tabernacle and in the temple, there was one piece of furniture that was missing, which most of us lazy people have to have? Oh, I've got to sit down somewhere. There were no chairs. Why? The work of the priests was never, ever completed. There was always something to do. When Jesus completed his work, rose from the dead, left the tomb, joined his Father, he didn't just come over next to his Father and says, "Abba, it's so good to see you again," and then just stayed standing. What does the scripture say? He sat down. Our great high priest sat down. It's done. The work is completed. Tetelestai. Thank you, Jesus. We see a conquered foe. I love this part too, as we draw this to a close. To human appearances, what did it look like? Oh, the devil won. Look what he did. He killed Jesus. Oh, no. And many of his followers believed that, and they scampered away, scared to death. But in reality, it was the hour of his final, total defeat. I hope you're celebrating that a little bit. Or does the enemy still have you cowering in fear, thinking he had some power and some authority over your life? Just before the cross, Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." The book of Hebrews reminds us, he, Jesus, became like us, shared in our humanity, in other words, so that by his death he might give the devil a little trouble. Destroy him who holds the power over death. Not for long, though. Aren't you looking forward to that day? He doesn't hold power over death even now. Satan is a defeated enemy. Say that to the person next to you. Satan is a defeated enemy. You can say that to me, Paul. I'm sorry, there's nobody next to you. But I saw you saying it. Amen. He no longer has any legitimate claim on us who know Jesus as our Savior. No claim at all. Are you buying that? Are you embracing that with me this morning, brothers and sisters? No claim at all. Unless we give him a foothold, then we take it back quickly. Once we were his lawful captives, now Jesus has set us free. Say that to the person next to you. Jesus has set you free. And if you don't know him, you need to get on your knees right now and get to know Jesus and let him set you free. You don't have to say that to the person next to you, but maybe it might help. I don't know. Let the Lord lead you. A conquered foe. That's why the tomb is empty. Friends, don't ever forget this word or these words, whichever language you choose to use. I like Greek because it's shorter. Say that to the person next to you. Don't ever forget that word. Think of it, friends. Think of the flow, the beautiful flow of God's amazing plan. There was once the gentle bleeding of Jesus, the humble servant who gave himself as the Passover lamb, the lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. Way back then, Tetelestai. You can hear him declaring it from the cross with all the strength he had left. Tetelestai. It's finished. You can hear it echoing from the tomb. Tetelestai, tetelestai. It's finished. It's done. How many of you have been to the tomb? Did you hear it? I hope you heard it ringing in your heart. It's there. But think of it, friends. Soon we will hear the roar of our Jesus, the great Lion of Judah, who will come in great power and glory, and we will reign with him forever and ever because, Tetelestai, it's finished. It's done. But right now, while we're waiting, and while we're living for him, not just sitting in a corner waiting, he said to occupy till he comes. While we're waiting, we hear the witness of his Spirit in our hearts. It's finished. It's finished. When that struggle with some sin in your life grips you, listen. Listen for the voice. It's finished. You've got victory. Take it. When your friend just betrayed you, hear it. It's finished. Rest in me. Rest in me. I am your comfort. I'm everything that you need. When you think, God can never forgive me, I've done such terrible things, remember, it's finished. It's done for you, for me. When, now you put, you fill it in. When some pain, some hurt, some question, something going on in your life, some pressure. When, put that in your hands, lift it up to him, even right now, and remember, Tetelestai, it is finished. Amen? Bow in prayer with me for a moment, would you? Just in silence, stillness for a couple moments together, just marinate. Sit in this. Let this wash over you. Let the Holy Spirit say what He wants to say to your heart right now. Let His grace flow. Receive what He wants to say to you. Take it. Treasure it right now. Listen and don't forget. Just in these moments as we're together. You may want to just speak out a word of thanks, or just say thank you, or yes, or tetelestai, or it is finished, or thank you, Lord, for whatever, freedom, strength, forgiveness, something that's going on in your life. Just quickly, just speak it out, and it may give faith to some others to do the same, to take another step, a deeper step with Jesus. Let it minister to yourself, but to others as well. Just a simple thank you or a yes, whatever. Feel free to speak it out. Stand with me. And just because we're standing and you're looking at me, does not mean you cannot continue the process all day long. Amen? All week long. Amen? All month long. Amen? All year long. Amen? All your life. Amen. Let's do it. Let's commit to it together.